I greet you all, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And then we'll skip to verse 23, and we're going to read verse 24. The Lord speaks to us from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Skip to verse 23 and 24. Hear now the word of God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. This far we read the word of God. Amen. Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we give thanks, and I pray that you may use this time to encourage us to pray and to work and to have the right perception of work. These things we pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, what is your perception of work? Whatever kind of work you do, what is your perception of work? It is true that work is exhausting, and sometimes we get pressured, especially when there is so much work and there is little time, you feel the pressure. And consequently, we whine, we complain more than we give thanks. What's your perception of work? What comes to your mind when it is time to work? When Monday comes, do you even look forward to work? Work is not a product of the fall of mankind. And when we read the Bible, it becomes very clear that God is the primary worker. And the Bible says that God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. When God viewed the fruit of his labor, the Bible says he called it very good. And so since God is inherently good, work is also inherently good. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, before the fall, we read, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To be sleeping, eating, and sleeping? No. To work it and to keep it." Work is good. It must be conducted in a way that produces the highest quality outcome. That's how we should perceive work. But then we also know of Genesis chapter 3, something happened. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we find there that, you know, work changed. It changed the nature of work, and work became difficult and work became something exhausting. And so after the fall, we accomplish work by sweating. It's hard. By toiling. And some of you may have heard this phrase. It's a Latin phrase, ora et labora. Some of you may have come across this phrase, ora et labora, pray and work. Now, this is consistent with the scripture. We need both to pray and to work. And the phrase was originally formulated by Saint Benedict of Nursia. It was an intentional rule for the monks of Benedict's own monastery in Italy. And it encouraged them to work. It encouraged them to pray. Ora means to pray or to plead. Labora means, and you can hear the word labor. Labora means to labor or to work. And it also means to produce or to take pains. To produce or to take pains. What we find here in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the Colossian Christians while suffering pain in prison. Among other things, he warned against false teachers who might come and impose strict rules about what to eat and what to drink. And about Christ, in this book, Paul says he is the image of the invisible God. And about Christ, Paul says that Christ worked to reconcile us with God, his Father. He worked reconciliation through his blood. Paul also explained the right way of living, not focusing on earthly things, rather focusing on heavenly things. And in our pericope, Paul reveals that Christians need both to pray and to work. And so I want us to look at pray and work in whatever you do. Let's think about this for a moment. Pray and work in whatever we do. Let's look at prayer, and that's something that we do, and let's also look at work, and we make some reflections. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's look closely at this verse. Colossians 3, 17, it says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's read that again. And whatever you do in word or deed, one word, work. How do I know that? Skip to verse 23. In word or deed, whatever you do, verse 23 is very clear there, work. How are you supposed to work? It says, doing everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In one word, pray. Pray. Work. Pray. To pray and to work are both needed for Christians. Doing one and neglecting the other is laziness. And the Bible rebukes laziness. The Bible encourages us to work hard. Dear friends, to pray is spiritually hard work. To pray is spiritually hard work. Look at how the early church prayed. If you're reading Acts chapter 1, verse 14, there we read, all these with one accord were, and that's the key word there, devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. The early church were devoting themselves to prayer. Notice that they were devoting themselves to prayer. Devoting to prayer is being constant in prayer. It is to commit one's time. It is to commit one's energy. It is to commit one's resources. And we find that verb again in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, devoting. There it says, Acts 6, 4, it says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer is spiritual. Hard work. Acts 6, 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. What's the context here? The context to this verse is that the early church developed a problem, most likely because of language barrier. And so there was a problem between the Hebrew-speaking Christians and the Greek-speaking Christians. The Greek-speaking Christians complained that their widows were unfairly treated. They were not given the maximum attention. And so to solve this problem, the Apostle Paul put seven respected Greek-speaking men in charge of the food distribution program. And then, you know, this allowed the apostles to focus on their work. Work of doing what? On their work of praying, on their work of teaching, on their work of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there it says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer. Indeed, to pray is spiritual hard work. If you're reading Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 12, we read, continue steadfastly in prayer. It's spiritual work, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In verse 12, the apostle says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. And listen to this, always struggling on your behalf in prayer. Epaphras struggles always on your behalf in prayer. What does this mean? This means that in whatever you do, do not neglect to pray. Continue steadfastly in prayer. It is spiritual hard work. To which Paul says, Epaphras was always struggling in prayer for the church of Colossae. Notice also that the Spirit of God teaches us how to pray. The Spirit of God who dwells in us teaches us, gives us the right words. He teaches us how to pray. In prayer, Christians have a privilege to have a dialogue with God. And so someone correctly said, do not make your prayers monologue. Make it a conversation. In prayer, we speak to God, and the Spirit of God who dwells in us teaches us how to pray. He makes the words of God known to us. Mahatma Gandhi got it right when he said, it is better to pray, it is better in your prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Talking about how we ought to pray, we ought to come to God, pour our hearts to God. And so one can say, it is better to pray with our hearts. Not simply speaking words which mean nothing. It is better in prayer to have a heart for God than having words without a heart for God. Prayer is addressed in faith to God, our Father. In prayer, we seek God's favor. In prayer, we pour our hearts unto God. In prayer, we cry unto our Father. In prayer, we draw near to God our Father. In prayer, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. To pray, dear friends, is spiritual hard work. John Piper uses the verb to walk as he talks about prayer. He says, prayer is the way you walk by the Spirit. He goes further and he says, prayer is the way you walk by faith. In other words, it's the breath of a Christian life all day long. Prayer. What happens when you stop breathing? You die. And what happens when we stop praying? We die spiritually. And perhaps it explains why some of us are spiritually so weak, because we pray less. It's spiritual hard work. Walking is physical hard work. So it is with praying. It's spiritual hard work. It's the breath of the Christian life all day long. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, that is, through Jesus, meaning that we must be intentional and we must create time to pray. We should have quality time to have a conversation, to pour our hearts unto God. But dear friends, we do not only pray, we also work very hard. And I want to bring this to your attention, especially as we're coming almost to the middle of this semester. If you thought being at Mukanyo, we're just going to be praying and reading the Bible, what do you think about this verse? You are correct, go home. You'll be disappointed. And I've literally seen it myself, students who came very zealous and passionate to study, and halfway the semester, they realize there is also hard work needed here, and some of them fall off. We do not only pray, we also work hard. How must we perceive work? Take a close look at Colossians 3:23-24. Chapter 3, verse 23-24. It says, whatever you do, work. How? Heartily, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality or favoritism. Paul was not only a prayer warrior. Paul worked hard. I can take you to 2 Corinthians 11:23. There he says, I am a better servant of Christ. Paul, how can you say that? True, he worked hard. Further, he highlights all the sufferings he went through. If you're reading 2 Corinthians 11:23 and 28, he mentions for us and he paints a picture how he suffered for Christ. Even in unfavorable conditions, he remained steadfast. In an earlier chapter, Paul said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Paul paints a picture of physically working hard. Indeed, Paul worked hard. He was diligent. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have been able to make all the missionary journeys we read about. He was diligent. He made most times. You know, whether it be in unfavorable conditions we find him going out to spread the gospel. He wouldn't have been able to write all the letters that we read about. He worked hard. It takes hard work to do all these things. He labored spiritually. He labored physically. He went beyond. He was diligent. Now, fair to ask, lest we praise Paul and think of a hero he is, fair to ask, but how did he manage despite all the hardships? If you had the privilege, the chance to speak to Paul, Apostle Paul, wait a minute. How did you manage to do all this? Because I can see the hardships with which it comes. Well, in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through him, referring to Christ, and he says, who strengthens me. He doesn't claim the glory. The glory goes unto Christ. And so Paul fought the good fight, he finished the course, and he kept the faith. He followed the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who said in the high priestly prayer, if you're reading John 17:4, listen to what Jesus says. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus worked here on earth, and Jesus works. Jesus, like God his Father, works. And so how should we perceive work? Is it a bad thing? Is it something we should lament about? Yes, we ought to pray and we ought to work. Christians should have a reputation for being diligent at work and in all their endeavors. We must not be perceived as lazy people who always just pray and who are lazy to work. Paul encouraged the Christians in Colossae to pray and to work cheerfully in whatever they do. Dear friends, the scripture teaches us to be hardworking in whatever we do. For the Lord, not people, will reward us. The Lord. He will give an inheritance as our reward. We are serving him and he is our master. But if we do what is wrong, we will be paid back for the wrong we do. And with God, the Bible says, there is no favoritism. He is going to reward our hard work. And for a moment you think there is so much work that you put, so much energy that goes out, so many hours of working and laboring, and perhaps you look at the results and the reward, not equivalent. This comforts me. The Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you. What is for us now is to pray and to work. For whatever we do, let us work in such a manner that produces the highest quality outcome. And not just working for a mere pass. I've heard this many times. Even during my time, I had a friend who would say, I'm just working for a 50% just to pass. That's the wrong way of perceiving work and your studies. For whatever we do, let us work in such a manner that produces the highest quality outcome, knowing that the Lord will reward us. And Paul didn't wait for favorable conditions to work. Otherwise, nothing was going to be done. Let us not give excuses for not working hard. And you can always give an excuse. It is too hot. I can't study. It is too cold. I can't study. It is too windy. I cannot study. It's too rainy. We can always give an excuse. It's too hot, too cold, too rainy. I can't do your work, oh God. Paul didn't give an excuse. He did not wait for a favorable condition. He worked hard. But for whatever we do, dear friends, let us pray and let us work, depending on Christ who lives in us. In your studies, depend upon the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself was a prayer warrior, and he taught his disciples not to lose heart, but to always pray. It's very easy to be discouraged if you're reading Luke 18, verse 1, and there Jesus, he is teaching, he gives a parable, he's teaching his disciples never to lose heart, but to always pray. So many things will come which will discourage you. Do you always pray in whatever you do? Or you pray sometimes when you remember. Or you pray sometimes when you feel like. The Bible reveals that we ought to pray always. Friends, let us pray without ceasing. Whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we thirst for him. And so in prayer, we must come to God as such. St. Augustine says, whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing, what is the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning? Is it to think what you're going to eat? True. But is it what comes to your mind first? What you're going to wear? What mode of transport you're going to use? What comes to your mind? The first thing you open up your eyes in the morning. Do you thirst for God? Do you make a prayer unto him? Dear friends, let us not be lazy to pray. You know those kind of prayers? You've had a long day and you throw yourself on the bed. And then you realize that you're a Christian, you must pray. And you just say, "Ish, God, thank you for the day. You know that I depend upon you. Thank you. Amen." Prayer is hard work. We must set quality time for prayer. We must be intentional about it. Laziness will sentence anyone to poverty. I'm reading Proverbs 10, verse 4 to 5. It says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." When your friends are busy studying, you are lazy. And you expect to get a Bible and a study guide under the pillow and sleep and expect in the morning to have answers for the test or the exam. It's not going to work like that. It will not work like that. I want to encourage you, dear friends, that we ought to pray and we ought to work. Christians, we are encouraged by God's word to pray, depending upon him, and to work. And so in conclusion, Christians must work hard in whatever we do. Whether it be in our classrooms, we must work hard. Not for a mere 50%, just to clear the module. So that I don't have to do this again. We must work hard in our classrooms. Whether it be in our offices, whether it be in our businesses, whether it be in your calling, whatever vocation, we must pray and work hard, depending upon Christ. Pray as though, here's a useful quote from St. Augustine. He says, pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depends on man. You need both. Doing one, neglecting the other, is laziness. Pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on man. Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. What do I mean by that? Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. The first thing you must do when you wake up in the morning is to pray to God. And throughout the day, we ought to pray without ceasing. Whatever we do. And in the night, when we go to bed, the last thing we should do is pray. The lock of the night. What do we do in the night? We lock our doors, alarm on, we feel safe, we go to sleep. And sometimes we forget to pray. But we don't forget to lock the door, and don't forget to put your alarm on. Then you feel safe and you relax. Did you pray? Intentionally so. Setting quality time to thank the Lord for the day spent and everything is done in your life, and bringing you to this point now that you have to rest and to thank God for the privilege and for the time that He gives you to rest. Prayer should be the key of the day. For everything that we do, to pray that God will unlock. Of course, it comes with challenges. The work that we do. And obviously, after the fall, we see we have to work. We have to sweat. There is a hardship. But let's depend upon God that He may bless the work of our hands. And the same here at Mukanyo in our studies. If you are to succeed, don't think you just have to be a hardworking student who can read the study guide from cover to cover. It's good to study your study guide and the books and everything that you have from cover to cover, but not neglecting to pray. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks and we say thank you for encouraging us, especially in the middle of the first semester, when pressure is rising, when we realize that there is so much work to do than there is time. The solution is not for us to merely be whining, complaining about so much work, but to always come to you in prayer, to always pour our heart before you in prayer, to depend upon you. Many are the times that we have done things our way and usually disappointed. It's our prayer now that, Lord, you will humble us. You bring us to our knees to pray unto you, depending on your God, pouring our hearts unto you, looking up to you for favor. And I pray that you will look at us graciously, you will deal with us graciously for whatever we do. Our involvement here at Mukanyo, in our studies, our involvement in our various ministries, whether it be at our houses, in our churches, God, I pray that we will depend upon you. We pray that you may strengthen us, that you may quicken our hearts, strengthen our knees, without giving excuses, and work. Would you please bless us? And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.